are, where we're going, what we've done, kind of evaluating that, and then through that process, it really can help us as we launch forward, as we move forward here in this community. And like Mike, his testimony that he gave this morning with Papa Bishop there, we don't know the impact that the gospel can and will have if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not spreading the gospel, if we're not living the gospel light out in the community. And not that we're not doing that, but evaluating, part of that evaluation is, are we doing as well as we could be doing? And so we're really just trying to be really honest with ourselves, which is uncomfortable, isn't it, sometimes? It's uncomfortable to really be introspective and look at yourself and ask yourself, am I really doing what I should be or can be, ought to be doing? And so we're just kind of laying that groundwork for 2017 as we march forward. This doesn't happen with just me. It just doesn't happen with just me and Donovan and Doc as elder, the elder team. This really has to happen with all of us together. We're a family, and we should be a united family marching forward together. And so we've all got to take a look at this. Last week, we looked at, together, a large question, and that question was, what is God's? And I didn't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question for yourself. What is God's? From there, we narrowed it down last week just a little bit more, and we looked at specifically the question of whose image are we made in? And then therefore, when we answer that question, what impact or what does that mean? And so I couldn't answer that for you either. You have to answer that for your own self. And so I hope this last week you were able to take those two questions, the broad question, what is God's, the smaller question, but more pointed to you in your life, whose image are you made in, and then wrestled with those and then come up with the answers and whatever you wrestled with there. Okay? Does that make sense? So we're taking that from last week, and then this week we're going to look at three specific things. There's not going to be a PowerPoint this morning, but I really want you to focus on these three specific things as we kind of take this funnel. What is God's broad? More specifically, whose image are you made in? And then what impact does that have on your life? And then today, we're going to look at three specific areas of our life as we funnel it down even more. Those three specific areas, and we all have them, are our time, our abilities, and our resources. When we take a look at those three, we're going to look at some questions. We're going to look at a lot of text this morning, a lot of the scripture. We're going to work through a lot of the scripture this morning. Okay, so we're going to look at three or four passages in each point. Going to have 3 points here, obviously dealing with these three issues. And so please follow along in the text, because it's the Word of God that we want to look at. All right. If you remember also last week, I used this silly illustration of squirrels. Remember? I heard a chuckle. Sometimes we're like dogs who see a squirrel, right? A dog sees squirrel, and then they just kind of get sidetracked. Or if you got grandchildren or little kids, you're like Dory, the fish, who sees the shiny thing, and you're off. You know, you're off on a tangent. Or you're like a cat, right? A little laser light on the ground, or you reflect the sun off of your watch, and the cat just goes berserk, you know, after it. Sometimes we're like that, where we get distracted by shiny things of life. And that can happen specifically when it comes to our time, our resources, and our abilities that God has given us. So this morning, I'm asking that you will, look as we look at the scripture, you'll interact with some questions, and you'll evaluate yourself this morning. The story was told about a man named William Borden, and in 1904, William Borden. I don't know if you've that name is last name is probably familiar to you. Borden, ever eaten Borden ice cream or heard of the Borden Dairy Farm? In 1904, William Borden graduated from a Chicago high school. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, and he was already at his age a millionaire. For his high school graduation present, his parents gave him a trip around the world. So as a young man, he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. And as he did this, he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. Finally, Borden wrote home to say this, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." At the same time he wrote that, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible. He wrote, "No reserves." Indeed, Borden held nothing back in his life. During his college years at Yale, he became a pillar in the Christian community. One entry in his personal journal that defined the source of his spiritual strength simply said, "Say no to self and say yes to Jesus every time." During his first semester at Yale, Borden started a small prayer group that would transform the campus life there. This little group gave birth to a movement that spread across the campus. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were meeting for a weekly Bible study. But by the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 from that 150 grew to 1,000 of the Yale's 1,300 students were meeting in such groups. Borden also strategized with his fellow Christians to make sure every student on campus heard the gospel. And he was often seen ministering to the downtrodden in the streets of New Haven. But his real passion was missions. Once he narrowed the missionary call to the Kanzu people in China, Borden never, ever wavered. Upon graduation from Yale, Borden wrote two words in the back of his Bible, "No retreats." In keeping with that commitment, Borden turned down several high-paying job offers, enrolling in seminary instead. After graduating from seminary, he immediately went to Egypt to learn Arabic because of his intent to work with the Muslims in China. While he was in Egypt, he contracted spiral meningitis, and within a month, the 25-year-old Bill Borden was dead. Right prior to his death, Borden had written two more words in his Bible. Underneath "no reserves" and "no retreats," he wrote the words, "no regrets." You see, this man, Bill Borden, who was heir to whatever he wanted, could do whatever he wanted, he lived a really radical life. His life was not normal. He really didn't give up anything because Christ owned it all and Christ was all and is all. But he had many opportunities and he had much resources and he had all the time in the world to be distracted. Yet he was focused and intentional in how he lived. You see, because he was intentional in how he lived, that really is a radical life. Most people, my contention is do not live intentional lives. Most people just exist. Most people just wake up in the morning and do their thing and go to bed, and that happens 365 days a year for a majority of their life. I mean, let's be honest. Ask yourself, do you live an intentional life? And so this morning, I want to move, as I said, from the macro of what does God own and to very specific things in our life by looking at these three areas. The very first thing that we want to look at this morning is radical planning. Number one, radical planning. Turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want to look at a couple verses, and we're going to break this verse down and really look at the intent there. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start in just two verses, verse 15 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, what does God say about radical planning? This is the time element, right? This is the time. Does the Scripture have anything to say about time? In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, "Looking carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making," verse 16, "making the best use of time, because the days are evil." Verse 17 says, Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I like it how in one commentator, Lloyd Jones, put it in his commentary. He said, time really here does not mean so much about, is not talking so much in terms of calendar issue. It's not talking about January to December. It's not talking about the thing that's on your wrist from 8 a.m. until midnight, you know, whatever your time frame. It's not necessarily, it includes that, but it doesn't mean that so much in terms of a calendar, a space of time, or TikTok. No, it means opportunity. Redeeming the time could really be even better translated, buying up the opportunity. You know, Jones is accurate when he says this, because this idiomatic, it's a little expression that they had. It does not here mean, redeem the time. The word redeem there means buy back. And the idea of time here means season. It's the word kairos, or it's a broad thing. So literally, we should buy back the season. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 uses the same exact expression where it says, making the best use of the time. In context, Paul here is not talking about being smart about the TikTok or being smart about Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, Sunday, whatever. He's not talking about that. But in Colossians 4 and verse 3 and 5, he's talking about walking wisely towards outsiders. Well, why would he mention that? Why would he say in context, be wise with the use of your time, specifically in how you deal with outsiders, those that are without the faith? Because the point is that they need to be smart about the opportunity. Paul is saying, be smart about the opportunities that you have when it comes to share the gospel with outsiders. Because, yes, the TikTok is short. We don't have a whole lot of time on this earth. And so, what he is saying here is that we've got to wrestle with how we use our time. Have you... Or how do you buy back, how do you redeem, how do you make wise use of the opportunities that God has given you? How do you do that in your own personal life? Remember last week I shared the illustration with us. You know, we're really like refugees, aren't we? I mean, this is, we sing the old chorus, you know, this is, the world's not my home, just a passing through. There's a lot of truth to that. That is true. You know, God intended for us to live in paradise. And then the great war of sin has displaced us from paradise. But someday we will live in paradise again. He is renewing all things, and things are becoming renewed. And someday, after the great events of the end times, we're going to be back in paradise someday. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for the back not to hurt. You know, I can't wait for the ankle to quit frustrating me when I go for a run. I can't, and some of you are just, I know you're amening in your head because you have the same physical, things like that, crying and tears because of heartache are not going to be someday. And so we're just refugees passing through. What does that mean? We do have only a certain number of years on this earth. I don't know how many years I have. I've had 42 of them. Maybe God will give me another 42. I don't know. I could have another 2 days. I could have another 2 months. And so could you. How are you using the opportunities that you should have and should take in this thing we call time? I like how the psalmist in Psalm 90 puts it. If you'd like to turn there in Psalm chapter 90, another text that addresses this very pointedly as well. In Psalm 90, in verse 10 and verse 11, Moses highlights the shortness of our lives. However many years that we do have, whatever that number is, I said, it's not a whole lot. In verse 10, the scripture says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger or your wrath according to the fear of you? And so he says here in verse 12, and this is key, So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Really, in other words, what he is saying here is that if we get that 80 years of life, and for some shorter, some, yes, longer, but if we get around that 80 years of life, what are we doing? Are we numbering our days? In other words, are we numbering our days so that we're able to live those out wisely? Consider the shortness of life. And when you do this, this will help you to plan. This is radical planning. I mean, if you think about it, you think about your life 0 to 80, let's say. You know, I know that we're supposed to trust in the Lord and we're supposed to take each day at one day at a time, right? In that broad sense, or with that specific, apply that to the, we still need to be planners. Hey, what do we want to do here? And what are the opportunities that I want to take here? And we're, you know, okay, so we're going to go to Disney World on vacation in 2025. Okay, while I'm there, then we're going to plan. We plan stuff like that out. Why would we not plan our life out? Why would we not plan opportunities for sharing the gospel out? Some of you have wonderful opportunities on the campus of OSU. Some of you have great opportunities in your work spaces. Some of you are very close maybe with your neighbors. I don't know. But have you intentionally or radically planned when it comes to your time? Consider your days. Teach, may you learn to number your days, as Psalm chapter 90 tells us. One final passage when it comes to radical planning I want to look at here is in Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12. I told you we're going to be moving around some this morning. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse number 19. Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking to the rich young man. And we're going to read here about the foolishness of those who don't plan. In verse number, Luke 12 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will these be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." God says to this young man, where are all of these things that you spent all of your time to get? Well, maybe in context here, we often use this passage to deal with monetary resource things, types of things. Really, one of the important commodities that we have in life is time. And we can use our time to concentrate on certain things or not on certain things, to go after certain things. And so in the context of verse 21 and 22, if we lay up treasures for ourselves, if this young man would lay up treasures for himself, even regarding how he uses his time, he's foolish if he doesn't consider it in the light of God. You know, that's why verse 22, if you look in there, in verse 22, it says, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." You know why he can say that? Because God's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about that stuff. Again, and if you're visiting, I've said this a few times because I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstood or that I'm not saying what the scripture doesn't say. This is not some sort of tirade against having nice things. You know, you're welcome to have nice things, however the Lord would want you to do. If you have last week I used the illustration of an Aston Martin, right? If you have an Aston Martin, amen, that's great. You know, if the Lord blessed you with that, wanted you to have that. If you have whatever, you can fill in the blank. That's not really the issue. The issue is your heart. And are you radically planning, using your time intentionally for the things of God? That's the point. You see that? You understand that out of the text here? Number your days. Teach us to number your days. They're in Psalm chapter So if we look at these three passages and make application to our lives, we've got to be intentional about our time. What does this look like? Well, this looks like you intentionally using your time to engage the lost. Ask yourself this question and be truly truthful. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? By the way, the gospel is not will you come to church with me? That's not the gospel. That's not a bad thing, where they could come and they could see a community of people who believe the gospel and then hear the gospel. But when is the last time you as an individual shared the gospel with somebody? What does radical, intentional planning with our times look like? It looks like us intentionally using our time to engage the lost with the gospel. It looks like us helping those who are in need. It looks like us helping to and loving each other as a family of God. You know what that looks like? That looks like this morning. So, where's Dirk? Is Dirk in here? He's not in here. Good. Where is he? Oh, he's not back there. Oh. Yeah, not that Dirk. Not the younger Dirk. Dirk Bricker. So this morning, right? Mike had a little issue with a vehicle, I think. So he calls up Dirk. Says, Dirk, I need help. Next thing I know, I see Dirk going, and I don't know what. Dirk's going out the door, and he gets in his truck, and he's leaving. I was like, huh, hope he's all right. And he comes back. He's got Mike and Rachel with him. You know what? That's what intentional use of our time looks like. That's what loving the family of God looks like. Dirk could have said, oh, I'm too busy. I got so much going on this morning here at the church's building. And that's just one illustration of, and there's many, somebody here, needs help. Let's help them. Let's love each other. Let's be a family, community together. That's what intentional or radical planning looks like. It means saying no to excessive personal stuff and time. It means saying yes to intentionality. And you know what? The Spirit that indwells you will work in your heart and will work in your mind. And He'll help you to flesh out what that looks like. He'll help you to do that as long as you don't quench Him. And so, Bereans, folks, my friends, are you living radically intentional lives when it comes to your planning? If 2017 is going to be any different, then be more intentional about how you use your time. If Berean is going to continue to make inroads into this community, if Berean is going to continue to make inroads around the world and with our partnership in the gospel, then we've got to partner with more folks. That means that we have got to be intentional with our time as we share the gospel with people and we see more people accept Christ and more people be a part of this church family, and that we have more opportunities to do those things in our community and around the world. That's what intentional time and intentional planning looks like. We've got to be doing that. But will you be part of the team? Will you do that in 2017? Don't just exist. Live intentionally with your time. And it doesn't matter if you're young, Amberly. You can live intentionally with your time. And it doesn't matter if you're old, like Doc. You can live intentionally with your time. May we all live intentional lives when it comes to our... Second thing, not just radical planning, but radical giving. Secondly, this is the element of our resources. You know, whenever we use the word money, it conjures up certain emotions, doesn't it? Sometimes it makes us feel really uncomfortable. You know what? God understood this. It is said that in the Scripture, there is more in the Scripture about money than there is about heaven and hell. I think that's interesting. The Hebrews tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's how important the issue of money is, or resources are. I mention this because it can be very uncomfortable, as I said, to talk about. But you know what? It's as uncomfortable it is to talk about, I think it's even more uncomfortable to personally evaluate how you use your finances. one of the leading causes of marital problems is finances. Honey, did you go to Cabela's and buy that? Yes, I did. I needed that gun. Well, why did you need that Kimber? Right? Why did you need that? Well, because. Why? Because. Right? Honey, did you buy that new Tory Burch purse? Of course I did. It was on sale. It was normally $2,000, but it was on sale 50% off. That is a wise use of money. It was only $1,000. Okay, I exaggerate some. Just to illustrate the point. It can be pretty uncomfortable when we start evaluating our personal use of money. When we have to think about that. And sometimes what do? We start playing the mental gymnastics, right? Well, it was a good deal. It was this, it was that. Whatever, you fill in the blank. But even though it's uncomfortable to talk about, we've got to march forward and evaluate this our resources, to see if we practice radical giving. Matthew 6 and verse 21 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, what we do with our resources is a good indication of what we find crucial. What we find crucial in our lives will get attention. To put it another way, what is important receives our attention as worthy, because it receives the attention. Now, it is important to understand that many things in our lives receive attention, and good things. For instance, our spouses should receive our attention, our children, feeding our pets, cleaning our homes, watching a Clemson football game tomorrow night. All of these things, okay, should receive our attention. But what the Scriptures is really getting at is your heart. What is it that you find crucial to your life? And a good indicator of that is where you decide to put your finances. You won't use it for things that you don't find worthy, but you will use it for things that you do find worthy. So the question is, what do you use it for? This requires you to ask some questions of yourself. Again, this is where it gets really uncomfortable. Ask yourself, what is worthy of my of you? What is worthy of my money? What should I use my money for? If it's worthy, then how much of my money or resources should I use? Are there things that are more crucial, that are more worthy, that maybe I should redirect or reevaluate? What's not worthy of my funding? Again, all of these things can be difficult to ask. The difficulty, though, should not stop us from evaluating what we find crucial. So evaluate yourself. Families, this might be a difficult conversation that you have. Evaluate. What do you find crucial? A passage that will really help you to evaluate this is in Mark. Mark chapter 12. The Scripture says in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, this, and I want to share this with you. Mark 12, verse 41, the Scripture says this: "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." I was talking, Mike, you and I were talking about this passage one time. The point of this passage is not what she gave. I think the best way to understand this passage is to ask yourself this: what did she keep? Now, this really makes you think, doesn't it? Again, the point of this passage is not Jesus telling you to give up everything that you have, to sell your house, to get rid of your Aston Martin. That's not what he's saying. Okay, this wouldn't make any sense. that would contradict other passages, like husbands, provide for your family, or worse than infidel. It wouldn't make sense. That's not the point. The point is the heart. What did she keep? But what this passage does is it causes you to evaluate yourself. How do you use your resources? Do you use them radically? Do you use them intentionally? Or do you just exist day by day? Do you just have no plan or purpose for when it comes to the resource specifically of your finances? You know, you should control your money. It shouldn't control you. And that's counterculture. That's radical. And so, Bereans, my friends, if we're going to make any changes, any additional changes, if we're going to be the best that we can be for Christ, we've got to evaluate even this. And we not only have to radical plan, but we also have to what? We also have to look at radical giving in our lives. The third thing that we want to look at, and the final thing this morning, is radical living. Radical living. Now, this I'm going to address specifically the elements of your talents or your abilities. Radical living when it comes to your talents or your abilities. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then in Romans chapter 12, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Here's what's clearly taught in this corpus of verses here. What is clearly taught is that every one of us, every believer, has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has been given at least one gift by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, you might not know what that is. By the way, if you ever want to know what that is, there's a little side note. You can go online, just Google Elmer Towns, T-O-W-N-S, Elmer Towns, spiritual gift test. All right? It's not some sort of inerrant test, but it's a really good indication that will help you kind of see that. You answer a bunch of questions, and then at the end it says, it probably is going to be something that looks like this. Elmer Towns spiritual gift test. Challenge, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, that would be a good thing to help you figure that out. Now, all right, back to the message. What is clearly taught here is that we all have been given a gift from God, and that we're supposed to use that gift to contribute to the body of Christ. There's a beautiful picture, and many of you know this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the picture in 1 Corinthians chapter, or the illustration, is of a body, as of a physical body, as it relates to the church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, the scripture says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many members. If the foot is a member, okay? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. This is a beautiful illustration of how it works. If I was up here, and with these two arms, I had two more arms coming out of my ears, that would not be in place. That would be out of place. And so in this body, this family, us, brothers and sisters, friends in Christ, God has given all of us, each individually, a gift. Are you using that gift to make the body function like the body should function? If you're not, it's like me standing up here with two arms coming out of my ears. It's out of place. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't look right. It's not the best way for us to live. And so may I encourage you, it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're in your 80s or whether you're in fifth grade, if you're a believer, God has given you a spiritual gift. Use it for the body of Christ. Use it. This is radical. There's an old little, the percentages sometimes you hear them a little bit different, but a lot of times you'll hear the little saying that it's like 10% of the church people do 90% of the work. That's sad. That is a sad commentary. May that never be us at Berean. May we all, no matter what it is, do what it is that God has asked us to do. Do you know what's more important? What John is doing right now in the back, making sure that this works, that works, that you can hear, is it more important than what Dirk does as he helps clean, Dirk and Sandy clean the building every week? Or Dirk doing a great job on the maintenance of the facility and the grounds? Is that any less than what I do every Sunday morning? No. They're all important parts of the body. And all of those things together, guess what? Those things, if we do what we should be doing, that's radical. It's not just you coming and existing. It's not you just coming and breathing the air of this building and then leaving and coming back next week. It's you plugging yourself in and being a part of the body of Christ. That's how we should live. That's how this family, what it should look like. The question is, are you using your spiritual gift? But not only gifts, you know, God has also given us abilities. There's a reason why I don't play the piano. Because week after week, chopsticks would be horrible. That would be horrible to listen to, right? There's a reason why you've never heard me do a solo. Because I value your presence in the building. I'm not gifted naturally in those areas. Those are not things that I am good at. But some of you are. Some of you are really good. Some of you have the Midas touch. Some of you are really good at woodworking. Some of you are really good at craft stuff. Some of you are really good at whatever. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is, not only your God-given grace gift, but whatever your abilities are you using those for Christ? Are you using those for the gospel? What is it? Your abilities that you have, are you living intentionally? You see, this intentional life is so radical and different from how most people live. Most people just live, just exist. I don't want us to be like that. I don't want anyone in this room to be like that. Just exist. You can have a joyous, abundant, wonderful life that where you don't wonder, oh, why am I here? What am I doing? Oh, life is horrible. Well, you know, what is this all about? Oh. Not that we're going to have peaks and valleys that they're going to all go away. No, we're going to still have those valleys of life where we struggle. But listen, if we would just live more intentionally, think about what we could do. Think about the changes we could see in our communities. Think about the changes we could see in our workplaces. I had a friend named Wayne, and I think I might have shared this with you one time before, but this Wayne had this business, and he'd do this, and every morning they would meet around this table in the middle of the conference room or something. And they would do there, and he would just say, okay, what do you want to pray about? The first time he did it, could you imagine my point is simply this. Just live intentionally. We have an amazing opportunity to share the light of the gospel with people all around this community. But if we're not using it, that's not radical living. That's just existing. And I don't want anybody in here just to exist. May we live as we were designed in community. This is radical living. In conclusion, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. I want to look at this could be a sort of a case study. Matthew chapter 25. And I want you to see this sort of case study when it comes to radical planning, radical living, and radical giving. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is he's given some parables here and some teachings. This is right before his betrayal and arrest and then the events of the atonement. We talked about those a little bit last week when it came, he had just cleansed the temple the second time. Remember, I argued that there's two of those. The second time came. Right before that, he gave some teaching, and this is one of these teachings. In Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one man he gave 5 talents, and to the other man he gave 2 talents, and to the another man he gave 1, to each according to his ability. Then he, this is the man who gave them their money, he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, verse 19, now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5. Here, I made 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enjoy the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22, and he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. I'm giving it back to you, you know. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered the seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received that which was my own with interest. So to take it from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. You know, this passage really is a sort of case study about radical living. What we find here is that the resource of money has been given to each man. The resource of time, the same amount of time. He was gone for the same amount of time for each person. And each man had the same amount of opportunity. Each man was given only according to his ability. There was no tricks. There was no gimmicks. It was just everyday real life. And in the end, the two that chose to live radical, or could we say intentional lives, those two men were honored. It wasn't just the guy who had it all already with the 5 and now had the 10. It was the common, normal, everyday, 2-talent kind of guy like me and like you. Everyone in this parable who lived intentionally was honored. And you know, my hope and my desire for all of us here is that when our master gives us time and abilities and treasures, that we would be faithful stewards, that we would be faithful, that we would be intentional, and that we wouldn't just exist. So that way someday we all could say with William Borden, no retreats, no reserves, and no regrets. How are you living your life? It's something you need to think about and you need to evaluate in your own life. Can we pray together this morning?